Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. There is little compassion in the world today. Most of the time it's a dog-eat-dog world where each person and family fends for itself, because we are more concerned with ourselves than helping someone in need. When Jesus came to the earth, he gave of himself freely and addressed this problem in the story of the Samaritan and the wounded man. Pastor John describes the character of Satan and the fruit he produces, which can be seen in the people who are moved by satanic spirits. Only a born-again person can drop the characteristics of Satan and be transformed into the image of Christ. Then you can become an ambassador for Jesus and show kindness and love to others. This message is entitled, Who is Your Neighbor? Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life with Jesus Church on July 29th, 2012. And I'm glad you are here. I'm glad those of you that are tuned in are going to be with us today. And the message I'm going to preach on today is, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? We're going to be talking about compassion and love as we're going to study what Jesus said about this subject. So let's stand and let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we have here today. And Father God, we're not going to look upon circumstances. We're going to look upon Jesus. And we know this, there's no crisis in heaven. There's never an emergency meeting in heaven by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Every crisis is on this earth. And you have a solution for every crisis. And I want to thank you right now that you will open up the Word of God for us again, that we should be able to hear, understand, and apply it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis, the 6th chapter. And we talk about a fallen human race. The human race is a fallen race and contaminated with sin. And we simply have the characteristics of Satan. Let me say this from the very beginning. Only a person that is born again, saved, born again, can display the characteristics of Christ. And I'm going to share with you a story that I just learned 24 hours ago, and I got some information on it this morning. And this is a story about East Germany. It used to be a communist nation, and it existed from 1945 to 1989. And it was a very ruthless dictatorship, and in a small country they had a secret police, and they only had about maybe 20 or 25 million people, but had 90,000 people employed by Stasi, which was their secret police. And but in the 1970s, there were 6 young people that were at the university, and they were in their early 20s, and they wanted to defect, they wanted to leave for Western Europe, for West Germany. And what they did was this, that they began to talk secretly among themselves how to escape, and they needed to send a letter out to a relative in West Germany to get some funds. And they made a decision to trust a Lutheran pastor. And the disciples said, you know, that this is a clergyman. He is a Christian. And this one young girl, she wrote a letter outlining what they were going to do. And she hand-delivered this to this Lutheran pastor and asked, when you go out, can you please give this to my family? And he smiled and said, absolutely. What she did not know was that he was an agent for Stasi. He was a paid security agent. And instead of delivering that letter, he sent it in to the headquarters. And in about 2-3 days, that young woman and also the other 5 were arrested. And they suffered hard at the hands of the secret police that interrogated them very hard, very, very hard. And one of the girls in the group, they told her, if you testify against your friends, we will let you off. We will give you time off. So she did. And these 5 young children, young men and women, they spent about 4 to 5 years in hard labor in an East German prison. And when they came out, their career was ruined. And also the authorities had punished their families, their siblings, and they lost their jobs and so on, couldn't do this. They had a very hard time. Now, this Lutheran priest, he continued to work for Stasi up to 1989 when East Germany fell. And in the mid-80s, he moved to Sweden and became a pastor in a Swedish state church. And there were questions that he said he had nothing to do with it. But this brings me now to the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment. There was a researcher in Sweden that had been down and worked in Stasi records that they have reconstructed. And she found all the information about this particular incident, plus many others. And finally, this Lutheran priest, he simply confessed. He called a press conference and said, you know, I am very sorry for what I did, but it is true, I was an agent. And his face right now is plastered all over Sweden and Germany. And what I'm thinking is this. He ruined many lives. He got some money for it. He lived good for a few years. But you know, when he was working as a secret agent and turning Christians in and other people that tried just to flee, he never thought about that one day you will be found out. And now, he doesn't know what to do with himself. They force him to retire from the Swedish state church. And as far as his life on this earth is concerned, he is toast. He's a traitor. And he betrayed God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit by pretending to be a minister of the gospel and then secretly working for the enemy. The human race is evil. In Genesis chapter 6, if you pick it up in verse number 5, Genesis 6, 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Not long ago, we learned about the Penn State scandal. Sandusky having molested boys for 20-some-odd years. And the head coach, leaders in the university, simply felt this, you know, that we got to protect the football program, we got to protect our reputation. And they simply sacrificed young boys to be molested in order to save the reputation of a university. But you know what? Jesus said, you know, in time it will be revealed. And it fell apart from them. But I want you to notice that you and I, our nature is evil. In Genesis 8:21, we read this. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I have not again cursed the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living, as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Man's heart, imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. What you and I got to do, we got to recognize, sister, we still have a sinful nature. We got our bodies with us. We've been born again. We have a spirit of God. We have a spirit that's born of God. We have been rejuvenated, regenerated. But unless we crucify the flesh, you see, the flesh will crop up. And we need on a daily basis to crucify the flesh. Because as long as we're here, we're going to have problems. Jeremiah chapter 17. That's the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. And I want to pick it up from verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart that try to reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. In order for me to be able to function properly, I need to know my weaknesses. And you and I need to know that our hearts are evil, wicked, desperate. And we need to learn to crucify that. We need to learn we are born with a handicap. And we got to suppress that. We got to give that to Jesus. We got to let the Holy Spirit work in our lives in order to be victorious. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, that's Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, and we pick it up there from verse number 29. That's Ezekiel. Let me get it right now. 22nd, and verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. God looked for a man in Israel, someone that could stand up in the gap, and he found none. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation upon them. I consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have a recompense upon our heads, says the Lord God. Man by himself is unable to show compassion, forgiveness, and mercy to others, including yourself. Turn to Romans chapter 3. I don't think it was a accident today, coincident, that Sister Carol came up here and shared with us a profound truth. And I thought about that when she shared that. She said this, did you have a flower on a tree, or flowers on a tree? And unless that flower is pollinated, it will bear no fruit. It will look great. It will smell wonderful. And it will die and bear no fruit. The key now is this. Then we got to learn, if you're going to show mercy to others and forgiveness, you have to learn to show mercy and forgiveness to yourself. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, we read this. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands, there is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With the tongues they have used deceit, the poison of aspis under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things ever the law says, it says to them they are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there should no flesh be justified in sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, we're not established that man is a fallen creature. When I was at the seminary between 69 and 73, it was common practice for the CIA and the FBI to recruit seminary students that they knew in time would become pastors. And particularly they were after missionaries. And a number of men and women in different seminaries, not only Southern Baptists, but in other seminaries, they were not well-to-do. And it's very tempting when you are a student in seminary and you don't have a lot of money, got a wife and children to feed, for someone to come up and say, well, you know, this is national security and so on, you're going to be working for the United States, and to get maybe a compensation of a couple of $1,000 a month of being an agent for an intelligence service. This is why so many countries, people in other countries, do not trust their missionaries. Because they know that among them are some that are not only missionaries, but they're working for intelligence. Sometime I go in this country, they are not practicing martial law and holding down different cities. And in one of the they had an exercise in a small town someplace in the south. And they enlisted the pastors in town for crowd control. And their job was to go out and to influence their congregations to be law-abiding, to be giving up their weapons, to do what's right, and just to cooperate with the military as they have taken over the town. I don't think that the clergy should work for any intelligence. I don't think that a pastor should be part of any national government or anything of that nature. We sang a song here Friday night. There's only one king, and that's King Jesus. And I cannot see any Christian working for an intelligence service. Because if you do, you have to lie. You see, to be working for the FBI, you're undercover, whatever it is, you have to lie. That's part of the job. And the Bible says that God is light. There's no darkness in him. And as Christians, we cannot be part of that. And we need to learn this. The times are going to come when we're going to have an Antichrist regime. There's going to be a dictatorship worldwide. And we need to stay clean. When the Russians came to here, Russian-Ukrainians came to Sacramento back in 1988-89. Many of them told me this. They said, we have a number of pastors that came with us. And we know that these pastors work for the KGB in Russia, Ukraine. There's nothing we can do. And now they're here. And some of these pastors were well off. They had money that they shouldn't have. So what I want to the reason I share that with you is this. As we come in the end times, it is important that you learn not to betray your Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. Even if it will cost you. But that you will simply say in the name of Jesus, I will not go down there. Now turn to Luke chapter 10. This is the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. If you want to pick this up and learn about this story that Jesus told us. It's Luke chapter 10. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto them, what is written in law? How do you read? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered right, this do, and you shall live. But he willing to justify himself said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He was a clergyman now. He came by. He saw this man wounded. He just passed on one side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set on him his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. I want to back up to verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Samaritans were a half-breed. They were half Israelites, half Gentiles. They were from the 10 northern tribes that had been taken out. Some of them had filtered back. And the Jews hated them, despised them, rejected them because they were half-breeds. And Jesus told his lawyer, not his Jewish lawyer, he said, here's a priest, a Jewish priest. He doesn't care. Here's a Levite. He's part of the priesthood, and he doesn't care. Here comes one of these no good persons that you say. And he had compassion. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave him to the host and said to him, take care of him. And whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. Which now these three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus to him, Go and do you likewise. Now, what is compassion? You know, most of us have been hurt in this life. And I can share with you that there was a time back in, I would say probably in the mid-70s, 80s, when we had some terrific church fights and people turned against us and so on. Then I told my wife, I said, I will never, never again make a friend. I don't ever want to be close to anyone on this earth. It hurts too much when they turn on you. And if you're not friendly, if they turn, it doesn't hurt. But you see, I could never continue as a minister. I could never preach the gospel and pray for people if I had an attitude. And God had to break me. And you see, to be Christ-like, to be Christ-like, you have to risk being hurt. Let me run it into your mind right now. In order for you to have compassion, if you want to be Christ-like, you have to risk being hurt. Not one time, not two times, but hundreds and hundreds of times. Because Satan would always send people that would walk all over you. Take advantage of you. Slander you. Use your stuff. Call your names. And let me warn you this, when the mark of the beast comes out, when the mark of the beast comes out, they're going to set up stations where you can take the mark of the beast. And the favorite place is going to be in church buildings. And I prophesy that the leaders that will convey to people in those days to accept the mark of the beast would be pastors that would simply advertise, we are complying in our church. We are in compliance. And we want to make it convenient for our congregation to receive the mark in our church building. Remember that. I told you that. That day will come. They will betray you. Now, to have compassion, you simply have to say this, I will keep on loving. I will keep on loving. I don't want to get up into heaven and hear Jesus tell me this, you had a hard heart. You harden your heart. I don't want to hear that. I'd rather have a broken heart. What about you? In the book of Isaiah, that's the book of Isaiah. And you pick it up in chapter 14. And I want to talk about the character of the devil, characteristics. It's Isaiah Chapter 14. We pick it up in verse number 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you've cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. One of the characteristics of the devil is pride. Pride. And if you have pride in your heart, if you are displaying pride, then you are displaying a characteristic of the devil. Now, there's certain things we can be proud over. If you do a good job, we can say, thank you, Lord. I can be proud over that I did that good job. If you sing a song, you play music, whatever it is, and someone came up and said, that really blessed me, that was good. You can say, thank you. And you can take pride in that you are doing the very best you can. But satanic pride is when you begin to think, you know, that you don't need God. That you, with your talents and things, you can do all kind of things. And you begin to take credit and simply saying this, I don't need God anymore. I can handle this myself. If you ever feel it in your heart, then you need to be beware and repent of it. In verse 16, we read this. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? That opened not the house of his prisoners? Are you an angry person? Are you a destructive person? What about anger? Can we have anger? There's a righteous anger. You can be angry at sin. But most of us, we get angry. We get angry at people. We get angry because we don't get our way. We get offended or something happened, whatever it is. And we get angry and we get destructive. You might say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, you should be. Let me ask you this question. When they had whipped Jesus, forced him to walk out to Calvary Hill, Golgotha, and they laid him down and slammed him down on the ground on the cross piece and began to hammer the nails into his hands, did Jesus get angry with him? Did he lash out? Did he spit at him? What did Jesus say? He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. When somebody insults you, offend you, whatever it is, it's time to simply say, in the name of Jesus, I will forgive. I make a choice to forgive. I am not going to respond in anger, retaliation. God is the one who will do the revenge. Bible says that God will revenge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Leave it to God. Just walk off and simply say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then turn to John 8:44. The Gospel of John 8:44. We find another characteristic here of the devil. John 8:44. If you read this, you are your devil, you are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. We look now, pride, anger, destruction, murderer, and lying. And then turn to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. If you read that from verse 17. Ezekiel 28, and I pick it up in 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. Satan is egotistical. He simply is vain, violent. It's me, me, and me. These are the characteristics of the devil. Now, the fruit of the devil is found in Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19. Have you read this? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they would do such things shall inherit the kingdom of God. Variance is quarrel, dispute. Emulation is rivalry. Sedition is rebellion. Reveling is partying. I would like to add one thing to that list: gossip. Do you know that gossip is deadly? It's poisonous. And if we have these characteristics, you will never find a person with compassion having these characteristics. We need to have the characteristics of Jesus Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And you pick it up in verse number 16. 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you got saved, you became a new creature. Before you were saved, you were selfish, egotistical, only looking for yourself. But to have compassion, we look upon people and see their need. Now, let me try to bring this together. When you see someone has a need, financial, whatever it is, spiritual, it can be they need something, and so on. I want you to notice that when you help people, don't expect anything back from them. If you're doing something for somebody, you're doing it for Jesus. Don't help people thinking that they're going to help you back. They might not. But God is your source. Also remember this, that people are going to be unthankful, ungrateful. And when you give people things, they will take advantage of it and they want more. And it's just like people on welfare, you know, they just expect more. And some of the black leaders that are conservative have simply said this, that the Democratic Party had made slaves out of black Americans. Because what they've done is this, instead of encouraging them to make it on their own, they simply bind them up in welfare generation after generation after generation. To have compassion on a person, sometimes you have to be tough. Because you want them to make it on their own. And sometimes you have to have tough love. Now, so when you have compassion, now, notice, they might bite you when you feed them. They might do all kind of crazy things over the years. But you see, when you have compassion, it is on behalf of Jesus. If you have that attitude, you will never get hurt. You see, expect nothing from people. Expect everything from God. If you get something nice from a person, that's the bonus. Praise God for a bonus from time to time. But when you have compassion, you give because Christ lives in you. And then we look at the verses 19 through 21. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputed a trespass unto them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, and through God they beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to him. You and I are ambassadors. How should we live then? Well, I'm going to turn out to Ephesians. That's the book of Ephesians. And we're going to look in chapter 4, verse number 30. And this is a good chapter to read. Ephesians 4, and we pick it up in verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Make a decision. It has to go. And be you kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Let's read that slow. And be you kind to one another. That goes for husband and wives, children to parents, parents to children, people to people. Be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, a month ago, I was going to drive a truck that we have to the repair shop. And I got as far as to a bank in this town north of us here. And I couldn't get the car, the truck started. And I just sat there. And then a man drove by in another truck. And he kind of looked, you know, tough guy, you know, so on. And he kept circling the block twice, and he stopped and said, you need help. I said, I sure do. He says, well, what's your problem? I says, well, I can't get the car started, and I think it's a battery. He said, I run home, and I get to some cables. He took off. It was a hot day. He ran home, came back in about 10 minutes. Hooked up the cables, stuff like this. We still couldn't get the car or the truck started. But he did everything he could. We went down even and got a new battery. Didn't work. It was a cable for the battery to the starter that was bad. We didn't know that. So I stuck up a conversation with this man. I was hot. I was tired, cranky, miserable. And I thought, you know what? I got a witness to this guy, you know. So I said, you know, I started talking about Jesus. He said, brother, I'm a Christian. So we had a good fellowship. And I thought about, here's a man, had never met me, had no knowledge of me. He had his own business to do. And he had compassion. He stopped. Why? Because Jesus lived in him. This is what it means to be to a stranger, to anyone else. that you simply go out of your way to show compassion because you want other people to show you compassion. Now look at the next chapter. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Let's talk about the box now. If you want to receive compassion from God or from other people, make sure that you have compassion on other people. Matthew 7:12. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you word that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophet. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law. This is the law, to have compassion. And the prophets. I want to talk to you that are cyber members. I am very pleased and blessed to be in this congregation. I would say that just about everyone in this church that are here on the ground in Sacramento are loving people. I see them help each other out. I see them have compassion on other people. I see a lot of this in this congregation, and praise God for that. But you know, we can be good today, but we want to be better tomorrow. We want to know why we have compassion. And I want to thank you, those of you that have compassion on this church and send in sacrificial gifts last week. You had compassion on us. God will pay you back. So if you want compassion, give it out. The more you give, the more you are going to get. In Matthew 6:14, Jesus said this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I have no choice. If I want to be forgiven, I have to forgive. I have to live in forgiveness. Let me read these statements to you one more time. If you want to receive compassion from God or from other people, make sure that you have compassion on others. If you want to receive forgiveness from God and other people, make sure that you are forgiving others that trespass against you. And then the final bonus point here. If you cannot have compassion on yourself, what do you mean compassion on yourself? When you make a mistake, you have to forgive yourself. Some of you made mistakes in your marriages. Among your cyber members, some of you are divorced. And it's been a bitter life. And you blame yourself. You've got to learn to have compassion on yourself. Do you understand that Jesus died and took all our sins away, even divorce? Even if you caused the divorce, He paid for that sin. Come to the cross and simply say, my Heavenly Father, I am sorry for my divorce. I'm sorry I caused it. Will you forgive me? And He will forgive you and cleanse you. Then forgive yourself. Have compassion on yourself. If you make mistakes, do this or this or that, forgive yourself. Don't live in the past. And most of all, open up your heart like a flower. And let God's love come into you and heal you. You know, it is so sad. And I wish I could simply, I know some people, I wish I could take you and shake you and say we're gonna put the intravenous needle into you right now. We're gonna open you up. And we're gonna have compassion and love from God flow into your veins and you can't stop it. But I can't do that. What a tragedy. When you walk in to the judgment seat of Christ and you come up and Jesus will put his finger in your face and say, you know what? I tried to love you and love you and love you and love you and you rejected me for years. I love you. You're going to be in heaven with me. But it's one thing you're going to have to learn right now. You're going to have to open up your heart and receive my love. And on that day, hear me, you will melt. You'll be on the floor. And you will cry and cry and cry and say, Jesus, 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 why could I not have received it on earth? And he will tell you this, because somebody wounded you. You got wounded as a child. And you never could let go of that wound. And that wound bound you up. I died for that wound. My blood paid for that. By my stripes, you were healed. And if I'm talking to you today, some people are so proud, they will never even admit that I have a need. But at least in your privacy, at home, would you today drop to your knees and say, God, He spoke to me today. Yes, I was wounded as a child. Terrible. And I'm frozen, bound up. But Jesus, heal me now. And help me to receive your love. Let's stand. My Heavenly Father, oh God, not even you, Jesus, could reach people if they rejected you. How you loved that young rich ruler. And you wanted to love him, but he couldn't give up his riches. And I pray right now, Father God, that Lord, you will move today on someone. Set that person free that I spoke to today. There's not one person, there are many persons. And Father God, help us today to have our wounds healed. Have our wounds healed, Father God, that we should be able to love in Jesus' name. There's a special song I want today for invitation. I want compassion. I want that to begin first, and we do the other songs afterwards. And if you are watching me right now, and you say, Pastor John, you cut to my heart today, but I'm not saved. Or maybe you have been saved and not walking with God because somebody wounded you. Today, would you say, God, forgive my sins. I take Jesus, my Lord and Savior, right now. I want to be healed. I want to be saved. Come on in, Jesus. And He will come in. And if you have other needs, then take them to Jesus. Call us, write us. To those of you that are here, if you have a wound in your heart, if you have a need, if you want more or whatever it is that God has for you, use this time. Be anointed with oil and come. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. we will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says, "Today is the day of salvation." Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled, Who is Your Neighbor? Little has changed with the human condition since Jesus came to the earth 2,000 years ago. Man by himself is still unable to show compassion, forgiveness, and mercy. Jesus gave of himself freely and provided an example of Christ-like compassion in the story of the Samaritan and the wounded man, which is in stark contrast to the character of Satan and the fruit he produces. You have only to look around at the people moved by satanic spirits to see how the devil operates. The only way to overcome sin is to be born again, and to have Christ as your Lord and Savior. Only a born-again person can drop the characteristics of Satan, be transformed into the image of Christ, and become an ambassador for Jesus. The world is watching, and we need to behave like our Master if we are going to represent Him well on the earth. As a Christian, it is exciting to know what is expected from us, and to have the power to live it out in our lives. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1353. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.